you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. On today's episode, it's day 9 of our 15 days of everything else, and it's the Nick Cage Fest Ghost Rider. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. I'm today's host, Max Tedaldi, and unlike our previous seasons, instead of counting down to the movie release, we're just celebrating the most wonderful and sometimes not so wonderful Marvel movies that we haven't covered yet. Each day, we're tackling a different movie, re-exploring the plot, calling out our favorite moments, and discussing its place in the ever-growing world of Marvel. So let's get to it. Today, I'm joined by my Sci-Fi Wire co-hosts, Matt Romano and Kara Mahorn. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
It's been a minute since you've been on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, Karma. Yeah. Back in the saddle after a few weeks off.
Matt had a kid.
I had a baby. Yes,
I blew the lead there.
So Matt's a superhero.
Yeah. He is a superhero.
Well, I didn't have it. My wife had it.
Because you really would be a superhero.
You're involved.
Wait, no. You'd be a mutant. Different show.
And almost as important is our AI co-host, Warvis, our Janky Jarvis. He's here to help us out with any questions that we might have throughout our Ghost Rider Cage Fest. What's up, Warvis?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. As a fierce connoisseur of all things Nick Cage, I couldn't be happier to be a part of this podcast. That man should steal himself because he's a national treasure. Am I right? I'm definitely right.
Great. So let's start talking Ghost Rider.
This is the legend of the Ghost Rider.
I gotta be honest, like going from MCU and then after that, you know, we watched some of the Spider-Man movies and now we're really like, this feels like early days, like origin days of Marvel.
Yeah.
Still really figuring it out.
Yeah, and they all like, you know, going back watching these movies, like all the movies feel the same.
It's like the same
level of like schlock.
What's interesting about this is like almost exactly a year before Iron Man dropped.
Yeah.
2008, 2007. So it's sort of like, it's like they're figuring it out and then all of a sudden Iron Man was like the first one.
Yeah.
And you're like, but there was two Ghost Riders and a Blade.
Oh,
and
for sure.
Fantastic Four.
Right, and a couple of Punishers before this, but okay.
But like Fantastic Four, Daredevil, this movie, they're all tonally the same and level of cheese.
Well, the interesting thing about Ghost Rider 2007 is that it was written and directed by Mark Steven Johnson, who also wrote Daredevil and Elektra.
There you go.
So that's
that would be why
those lines were so hard to swallow.
Yeah, and this seems like his foray into some of the like the darker elements and themes of the Marvel Universe, while also maintaining some of like those really cheesy puns.
Well, like, I mean, it's also Nicolas Cage.
Well, Cage brings a whole other cageness to it.
I was going to say there's going to be a pun happening if there's going to be some puns and some head shaking and some mirror pointing happening. If there's Nicolas Cage is in the movie.
There are so many moments where, like when he lit up and his skull finally lights up. I just wanted him to be like, the bees.
Right. The bees. Yeah. No, you get some of the best Nick Cage screaming in this, his career.
Oh, yeah.
If you want.
And the maniacal
peak
screaming.
Cage,
yeah.
Peak Cage. Yep. This is, there's some viewing to be had in Ghost Rider.
I mean, hands down, he's the best part of this movie before we even get into it.
But like, you know what was really weird for me was rewatching this over the weekend, and it was like, oh my God, I completely forgot that Peter Fonda, may rest in peace, with Mephistopheles.
Yeah. And what a great, that's like inspired casting because he's in the original Easy Rider.
Exactly.
Right.
Easy Rider, Ghost Rider. I'm sure like the casting agent was no brainer.
No, I think his first line even in both movies was the same, far out.
Yeah.
It's
so good.
It's but it was this was really classic Peter Fonda, like with the hair gel and everything.
Oh, I mean, it's like a blowout. It's like an old man's blowout.
It kind of reminds me of his character, the Limey, too. But it was good.
All right. So without further ado, I say we jump into Ghost Rider.
Let's do it.
And we start off with a nice little prologue, which is Mephistopheles, who is, I mean, that this is really Mephisto. Let's break it down.
It's the devil.
It's the devil. Yeah, and he's sending his bounty hunter, which is the Ghost Rider, to retrieve this contract of San Venganza, which, I mean, that's Omar Goffin. This is basically just like, you want, you know, eternal powers of all these corrupt souls. That's what this thing is. He wants this contract, and the rider refuses. We later find out that this rider is our Sam Elliott character.
Mm-hmm. The caretaker?
I think he has an amazing name. Yeah. Carter Slade.
Well, here's the thing. They combined. They actually combined two comic book characters, because there was a caretaker that looked exactly like his character. Mm. But Carter Slade is actually the comic book first version of the the Ghost Rider.
There we go. Yeah, because they call him caretaker in this movie. Yeah. I wrote it down. Yeah.
At the end, when it's revealed who he is, it's like,
but he also he just looked like instead of gray-haired Sam Elliott, it was just black-haired Sam Elliott. Like, you could tell it was him.
That's funny.
Anyway, so that's our prologue. And then we are introduced to a young Johnny Blaze, who has like a really just loving relationship with his father. They're carnies. And they have this little sort of flaming motorcycle show going on. His father is dying of lung cancer, but hides it from his son. His son then makes a deal with the devil so that his father won't die.
Name your price.
I'll take your soul.
Not of lung cancer, anyway.
That scene is so funny to me, because it's like this big, you know, big moment where his father's finally cured, and then the next scene, the devil is killing his father at their motorcycle event,
literally in a ring of fire.
It's so cold.
How pissed would you be?
You literally go so cold. Out like a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like so unfair. You sign a deal with the devil, and then you immediately your father gets killed in another way. That's not fair.
Right. That's the devil.
It's not
and
fair,
I'm like,
devil.
Oh, also. Love how he's not even stressed about this random man that's walking around. And I'm like, you didn't look at the shadow? You don't see the shadow shaped like a corpse? You're not noticing
any
of this?
It's like the freaking crypt keeper.
Exactly.
It's like unbelievably creepy.
Everything that happens to Johnny Blaze, he deserves in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, he makes a deal with the devil. His dad dies. Very sad. Then he also is kind of like, you know, I've got this cute girlfriend that I've made this plan with, what will be the future Eva Mendez, but they're not going to run off together because his dad's dead and he's made a deal with the devil.
And I didn't get that. Because why? I would say it rocks it.
This is one of my least favorite tropes in film in general, which is basically just like, you're creating drama by not having like one conversation.
Right.
And just be like, hey, some really weird shit's going on in my life. I need a moment. I need to sit out a couple plays, but then like we can continue doing what we're doing. But no, I'm just going to leave you forever.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's cold.
It's ice cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that doesn't. It's so funny because there's some similar moments I think of also like in Punisher, like, oh, lose your dad. Ooh. And then like the carny aspect for me, for this character in this movie, the way they explain Johnny Blaze in this movie feels like such a cross between Robin and Punisher. I'm sorry, Robin and Daredevil.
Yeah.
That it's hilarious.
I got to be honest. There were a couple things here that also upset me. So he writes J and R forever on the tree. And I thought that would have been just a perfect opportunity for him to have written down J and R for the number.
Oh,
and then Eva, like EVA.
Oh, yeah.
Eva Mendez, a nice little call out to her.
I'm done with you. That was what made you angry.
So that made me angry. And then the other thing that made me angry is that we have this sort of like, I think what's supposed to be this iconic moment with young Johnny Blaze calling out Mephisto, and he's pointing at him, and which he does throughout the movie.
Right.
And I can't, the only thing that I could look at were his stupid flare jeans. Which is so like, so
forget the crossroads.
It's such
like making
remnant.
A deal with the devil at the crossroads. Like, forget all that. It's just the fact that apparently,
he's
a kid, right? Except all the kids are wearing flare jeans.
That was a thing in 2007.
I guess.
I forgot about it.
Well, because if this movie's in 2007, what is that, the late 90s then that flashback is? I don't even
Nobody
know.
Nobody in the 90s was wearing, it was no.
Yeah.
All of that is
something's not right.
All of that is no. Costume department fail.
it is goofy. So that sort of takes care of our prologue, and then we're in present day.
Yeah.
And
when I'm sorry to jump around, but like, where is the part in the beginning? Is the opening monologue with Sam Elliott when he's like,
"The thing about legends is sometimes they're true.
The thing about legends is sometimes they come true."
I just wanted to do that. That's why we have to go back.
We had to go back because I wrote that note. That's probably my favorite line in the movie.
So 21 years later.
He's perfect. He's absolutely. I loved his voice at the beginning also. I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, you want kind of like washed out cowboy. Sam Elliott.
You go Sam Elliott.
It's a mistake otherwise. Yep. So, you know, we're about 20 years later and Blaze is now a sensation. This, famous stunt motorcycle rider.
Team Blaze.
Yeah, which is sort of goofy, but we see that he's basically, he has this fear of death, but wants to override death and is basically has a death wish for every single race that he's in. And we see him kind of dance with the devil in his first jump where he is essentially going out to kind of kill himself. He sort of has
a death wish going on.
For sure, death wish.
He's definitely trying to push himself.
He's literally trying to die. The devil won't let him because he's got work to do.
Truly true. But we also are introduced to some of his quirky squad, which are they're a fun bunch. And we're also introduced to some of the quirks of Johnny Blaze, aka Nicolas Cage, aka the jelly bean martini drinker.
Yeah.
Many weird looks.
And also, before we jump over that quirky crew, the Donald Logue, who I just couldn't unsee as Quinn from Blade.
Oh, sure.
Couldn't let it go. And I wasn't even on that podcast, but I can't unsee everything Donald Logue does. I see him as a henchman of Deacon Frost.
I mean, he plays a great, he's basically a henchman for Ghost Rider in this until he sort of
meets
his
demise. Everybody's sidekick, even in Gotham. He's everybody's sidekick.
Yeah, and that's also, and then speaking of that, it's like, what a superhero trope that I'm glad is kind of went away. I mean, it still happens, but always there's always like that goofy sidekick of the superhero.
Right, you know, but if that character didn't exist, Donald Logue wouldn't have a career.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like literally everything he does.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, and that's probably why we haven't seen him since this.
Exactly. Like after, when they said that Gotham was over, I was like, oh man.
Yeah, he's out.
This guy's going to retirement.
Oh, Donald Logue, why'd you leave us? But I was also just impressed, like Nicolas Cage is such a freaking rock star at the opening of this.
Oh, God,
and it's like, and it's goofy, but you see him tap into his fascination with Elvis and his fascination with just like having goofy wigs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's the man at the beginning of this movie. I love his take on the character, which is like, I think the way he does everything, injecting himself into
everything.
You just see Cage.
Even the jelly bean thing, like I'm sure nobody told him to pretend he was drinking those.
No.
And he just went off script and was like, this is happening.
No, he definitely came in meta and was like, my character eats jelly beans.
Right, because basically he's not allowed to, he doesn't drink because it gives him nightmares. He stated this, so he must basically have a sugar high. But you know what's really funny? I heard like a rumor that like that old Kojak show with like, what's his name? Telly Savalas. He was supposed to not smoke, so he sucked on a lollipop or something.
What was that show? Let's ask Warvis what that show was.
Was it Kojak? What show was that?
Yep, Karma's talking about Kojak.
See? I was right. Cool. But I just felt like it was one of those things. Like he was like, oh, I know what I'll do. He doesn't drink, so it'll be jelly beans, but in a martini glass. Like maybe that wasn't in the script at all. Maybe it was all Cage.
You want some jellies?
No, I don't want none of your stupid candy.
Also, they were red, yellow, and white. Like fire.
Well put. Blaze. Epitomizing Blaze.
Give that prop master a high five.
He's an enigma. He loves jelly beans. He listens to the Carpenters. It's bizarre.
You know, the way how movies work, I could see Cage just losing his mind and going, you know what? I need jelly beans. They need to be red, orange, and white, and I need them tomorrow. And some poor grip or PA having to run out and find all these colors of jelly beans.
Oh,
it's 10 o'clock at night.
So we're on his, in his van. And we kind of zoom through and we're introduced to our villain of this movie,
who
is Blackheart, played by Wes Bentley in bizarre casting.
He is the sexiest looking Blackheart I've ever seen.
he is very strange and diabolical and frankly, like kind of just bizarre.
Can I also,
movie.
I mean, maybe it's too early to ask this. What the hell's Blackheart's goal in this movie?
So he wants the contract.
Okay.
He wants the contract so he can basically take over, I think, hell from his father.
Oh.
That's his.
Because okay. He wants all the souls.
He wants
but
all
the souls. But I'm confused because there's only 1,000 souls
yeah.
that are tied to the contract. It doesn't hell have the rest? So I'm like, honey, you got lost
there
on
are,
the way?
There are a lot of like paper yeah. thin plot points
yeah,
in this
movie. A few times
movie.
I had to stop yeah. and I made a note like, yeah. wait a minute, what is Blackheart's goal?
We're quickly introduced to his henchmen, which are basically just elementals. I'm going to basically call them elementals.
No, wait, this is like but, if, yeah. yeah, this is like if Avatar was evil. Like Nickelodeon's yeah, Avatar. Yeah.
Water. Earth. Fire. Air.
Yeah, he's got water, air.
Mm-hmm. And earth.
Earth, and basically Blaze is fire.
Yep.
And it's like they're fighting.
Yep. Cool. 100% that is exactly
they're also
what's
not
going
bright.
On. They are. And well, and we'll talk a little bit about this more once Johnny Blaze gets his powers, but I was sort of shocked by how underpowered they were.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
how they really just did not put up a fight at all. But
right.
that's part of just Ghost Rider
like
being a
badass. You
can
control all of water, but you're going to take him out in a puddle. All right. Puddle. Really? That's what you got?
It's so
like
silly.
You could make it. This is like when Storm was standing. This is like when Storm was standing at the funeral with the umbrella.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, why? Yeah. Yeah. Why is this happening? It's,
oh, I never thought about that.
I hate that scene.
Are you trying to, like, is this a disguise for you?
Right.
Why have you done this?
Right.
At least make like a mist.
Yeah. Or just stop Puddle? The rain over right. you. I don't know.
I thought air, well, we'll get there.
Yeah. Wasn't there a character in Sky High whose power it was to just be moist or like,
yes.
Oh yeah, yes. He was. Yeah, yes. They're like, yeah.
Warvis, what was that character in Sky High?
The character that you're referring to is Ethan Bank, a sidekick in Sky High who can melt into a fluid, which earns him the name Popsicle.
I love that movie.
Sky High is a great movie. I mean,
it's
like,
fun.
Oh, the only other thing about these demons is like the Earth demon was named Gressel, and I kept having to rewind because I thought he said Gristle, and I'm like, why would anybody name a demon after pork fat? I don't understand. But it was, like, I don't. Gressel. Okay, I get it.
Well, Grizzlebrand is actually a Magic the Gathering card who's a demon, who I think is based off of some sort of lore, but I don't know enough about
that. Deep
them. Cut. Deepest of cuts. So, meanwhile, Johnny Blaze is preparing his most dangerous stunt ever, which is jumping a football field, which his assistant, Donald Logue, is like, no, bro, like, take the cars out. And he's like, I'll take the cars out. We're throwing 6 choppers down because my dad thought it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
and your
right.
dad, but your dad said nothing about flying over 6 helicopters.
Nothing.
He said one.
Yeah.
This is again Johnny Blaze not listening.
He's
not paying attention.
I don't think he's much of a planner. He's more just like, I'm going to do what's cool.
But I mean, also, if you have a death wish, going out by chopper blades is really not.
That seems like a horrible way to go out.
Come on.
I mean, there's a lot that can go wrong.
There's a lot. A lot of other things.
But he doesn't. He doesn't die.
Yeah. And I think what is notable about this is that we're also introduced. We get a reunion between Johnny Blaze and Roxanne.
Yes.
So she kind of comes out of nowhere and is like, I would like to do an interview piece with you. And he says, I'll do it. And they have one of the most awkward conversations, I think, that has graced the screen.
Johnny, what drives somebody to risk their life for entertainment?
I heard you got married.
No, it didn't happen.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what was more awkward, their conversation or looking at his hairpiece. It was very,
or listening to his accent, because he develops an accent, like the young Johnny Blaze doesn't have it. He's got a little bit of it, but it's like wandering around the South.
You don't know where in the South he's from. He's like, it's like when a British actor does a Southern accent and you're like, or Midwest, and you go, where are you?
Yeah.
Michigan. Chicago, where are you?
Yeah. And then he has that line where he's like, he's asking her out on a date and he's like, you still like Italian?
Yeah. It's,
that's
like, what?
Like, right. It's
odd. I don't know. Odd choice.
Also, because he is actually Italian. That's like, he knows better than to say that way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You still like
Italian. He does.
Italian.
He's a Coppola.
Yeah. He should know better.
He should know way better than that. It's also like some of the framing of that scene is very, very bizarre where we see her. She's in this sky blue dress.
Yeah.
But it's not like your typical sort of like pan up. She's just like very far in the frame.
Yeah.
And she's like smiling for the camera a little bit. It's almost like she's breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
It's a very bizarre scene.
Yeah.
And another tropey scene, because it's like, here comes this, you know, this love interest that comes back into his life, you know, probably what, like 10, 15 years later, and she's still interested in him? And she just happened to be a reporter and find her place in this time. It's all very convenient.
It is very convenient. And also, I also have to think, I was like, okay, so Ava was really big then.
She's huge.
She was huge.
At that time.
A-list like, celebrity, even Mendes.
Yeah, everything.
Sure.
Yeah, it was in Maybelline ads.
She was dating Gosling, I think.
Yeah. She had yeah. So it was like, just find something to put her in. And it was was very weird, though.
Yeah.
That whole, a lot of the scenes with her were very strange and directed very strange.
Yes. And she oscillates between being very independent and then being a weepy mess.
Yeah, I can't.
Around Nicolas Cage. Which
and I mean, she has carries around a magic eight ball.
Yeah, listen, was going to bring that up. But yeah, we'll
okay,
get,
sorry,
we'll,
sorry. It's
yeah,
early.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, basically, because I don't want to miss how he gets his power.
Yes, so we'll talk.
The eight ball happens during that.
So this is insane. So Johnny Blaze, he jumps the helicopters and he lands it. He sticks it. And then he's like, I don't care about taking my standing ovation. I want to go and get my girl back.
Yeah. Right.
So we have this kind of like adorable little meet cute where he's chasing her on her getaway van. And then he lands himself a date for 8 p.m., that night.
Yeah.
So like they're back. She's now forgets about the fact that he abandoned her for 21 years. She's okay with it for some reason.
Yep.
Well, because he stopped traffic.
He did stop traffic for her. And what I loved
selfish.
Was
selfish.
I mean, that does it for me. Like if you stop by I-95, I'll marry you.
Yeah. And the people in that scene are like, they're not pissed off about him stopping traffic. They just want an autograph, which is like, this is certainly not happening in LA or New York.
Or New York, clearly.
No. People would be losing their
minds. This would have been a 15-minute movie.
It's insane. Johnny Blaze is then revisited by Mephisto, who is basically like, this is why I gave you these powers. I am now going to call upon you to be the rider. And Johnny Blaze has this amazing transformation all the while he's supposed to be on his date with Roxy.
This is honestly, this is my favorite part of the movie. Not Eva, but the or Ava rather, sorry. But his transformation.
Yes.
That is one when people go, oh, I'm not that crazy about the Ghost Rider movie.
Yes.
I will say I understand, but his transformation is epic.
Yeah, the Nick Cage screaming.
It is classic Cage.
Yeah.
It's the cagiest Cage. It's that mix.
It's the cagiest Cage that ever caged.
It is this mixture between pain and laughter and insanity.
Exactly.
Yeah, that you know why Nick Cage was cast in this role. It's beautiful.
And also for effects back in 2008.
Looks good.
It was really still holds up.
Not bad.
The physics of him, he like moves a little bit heavy.
Yeah.
He's a little bit slower than I'd maybe want from him, but the skull still looks great.
Sure.
Fire looks great.
Yep.
I love the chains. The chains are really fun.
Yep. Why doesn't his clothes burn?
So here's the, and at least I remember this from the comics.
Here comes from Rano with logic again. What is wrong with you? It's superhero science.
Yeah, okay, we'll move on.
Why isn't Hulk naked all the time?
But I only have problems with superhero science in bad superhero movies. Like in good superhero movies, I can look past it, but I gotta. Like.
So you must have really hated Gravity and Elektra.
Oh, yes. Gravity, yeah.
I mean, the different iterations of the Rider burn off different things.
Okay,
and we definitely see Carter Slade, like he wears a hat, like that hat's not on fire. I think it's kind of just up to the individual.
All right, but it's weird. It's like certain things burn and then they sort of come back, but then he does get a new jacket.
Yeah. So, you know, Johnny Blaze is off to then fight Blackheart and his minions. He takes on the sort of the first minion, which is the
Grizzle.
The Grizzle. And we get one in a series of just terrible puns. I think he calls him a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Which is out of nowhere.
Because he's an earth element.
With dirt. It's not great. But again, like that fight, the fight is quick. It's really just like chain wrapped around him. Done.
And right. He screams, help me. And then he turns him back into dust.
Yeah. And the Ghost Rider is able to tap into his powers very, very quickly and effectively.
I like when the Ghost Rider talks. You know, he definitely has some cool moments. Like,
no mercy.
No mercy. Sorry. All out of mercy.
I like it a lot. And I also
like it because you know it's Nick Cage. It just messed with his voice.
It's super Nick Cage. There's a part in a lot of origin stories where you see characters like struggling and learning their powers a little bit. And I always found those scenes really polarizing. I think some people love them to see like the coming into their own. But I kind of missed it in this. And I think we get one little quick little montage of him just like reading a fantastical book.
Yes.
And being like, I command fire.
Yeah.
And then he owns it.
Yeah.
Right. But then he's a firebender. I'm bringing
all of Avatar.
All of Avatar.
Exactly. This podcast directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Wait, no, never. No, no, take that back. Nickelodeon.
I take it back. I take it back. So meanwhile, Roxy is a hot, hot mess at the Italian
now this
restaurant.
This is the scene. Yeah.
Like this is the scene.
She's sitting there like she's clearly been stood up. She keeps asking for alcohol. She's walking around with a magic eight ball in her purse, which doesn't make any sense. First of all, not only does it not make any sense that she pulls it out of her purse, we never see what it says.
Yeah, and there's no setup. It's like we don't know if she's like a superstitious person or like this just happens to be like her favorite magic eight ball, or they have them
on the table. Yeah. It looks like she pulls it out of her purse. One of the most random things that literally should have been left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Because it's apropos of nothing.
I just feel horrible for her in this scene because she gets really wasted and then she like asks the waiter if she's pretty and it's like, you're pretty?
Wait. You think I'm pretty, right?
Come on, you're Eva Mendes. You're a smoke show.
What's funny? The fact that she had to say that line, she probably really was drunk so that she could just get through the scene.
Man, I feel, seriously.
I would be lit just to be able to say the words.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
It's not great. It's really, really not great. But
stood up.
She gets out and, you know, she's moving on with her life. Okay. So basically, we find out, you know, the next day, obviously, the Ghost Rider powers are tied to it being nighttime. The sun's rising. He's over his powers. But he somehow finds his way to this graveyard. And the caretaker is our Sam Elliott character, who kind of knows a little bit too much about the Ghost Rider legend.
And it's his father's grave. Because in an interesting twist, he wakes up at his father's grave.
Yeah.
In the graveyard where the caretaker happens to be. So it's like the Ghost Rider took him to his destiny.
Oh, that's why. I had a note too. It was like, wait, how did he go here?
And I guess I wish there had been a line exactly like that. Been like, that was the Ghost Rider spirit leading you to your destiny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was me squinting really hard.
You were like reading between the lines. And because it is very, very convenient. But we do get to see Sam Elliott in just, again, peak Sam Elliott. And like the casting in this is just super brilliant. I couldn't stop staring at Sam Elliott's beard, which goes like all the way up to his eyeballs in this. Mm. It is
good beard.
A thing of beauty.
That's a
breathtaking.
Good.
It is absolutely 100%.
I just believe everything Sam Elliott says. He could probably read me a recipe book and I would be happy.
Totally.
Yeah. But, you know, Sam Elliott, our caretaker, is basically there to tell Johnny that, you know, everything that he saw or thought he imagined, that actually happened. And that he's got to be aware that when, the sun sets, his Ghost Rider powers will be
if he's near evil.
Exactly. So Johnny Blaze comes home and he then is basically in a place where he is going to reveal himself to Roxy.
Yeah, because he still hasn't called Roxy yet. Takes a while.
No, she just randomly shows up in his apartment.
Right, yeah. He didn't make any effort.
Okay, let me get this straight. So he stood you up, but you still got keys? How does this work?
Yeah.
how did you get in?
And this is the thing. I think you know where he lives
after 21 years?
That sounds like a stalker.
It feels like there was a production note at some point in this movie where like, we have all these people just showing up at Johnny Blaze's apartment. We need to have a line in the beginning where Johnny Blaze says like, yeah, I just leave my door open because I feel like it.
Right.
Yeah,
it was I can't die, so there's no risk in leaving the door open.
Right, somebody does say that. Like, you just leave your place open or something like that. It was very weird.
Oh, I see you still haven't gotten the lock for your lift. That's great, great. You got a lot of expensive bikes in here, man. I told you.
So, Roxy gets some mixed signals from Johnny Blaze. They have a kiss, but ultimately, he reveals himself as like the deal that he made with the devil and that he is now this fantastical being, but he does so in kind of a sarcastic way to make it feel like he's blowing her off.
The devil, on account I work for him. I'm his bounty hunter.
Or he's just being Nick Cage.
Well, that's fair.
That is 100% accurate. And it is a very Nick Cage tone where he's like, so I was young and I made this deal with the devil. And it's like, you can't really believe.
Right. Like every interview I've seen with Nick Cage, it's like, are you serious or are you being sarcastic?
I think he knows what he's doing.
He does. Yeah. Totally.
He 100%. So, you know, she's unconvinced and she walks away, which cues Nicolas Cage then quickly being arrested for a reason, for reasons.
Yep.
For reasons.
For reasons? Like, did we
No. There was a tire track that matched a motorcycle that apparently only he owns.
I'm sticking with reasons.
Right. Yeah, reasons.
Because, again, I was squinting.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the dark, yeah. Very close to the television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It's interesting.
My head just cocked a little to the right, like the whole movie. You're like, what?
And he goes to jail.
Yeah. He does go to jail. He gets locked up and he is very much like, no, don't lock me up. It's going to be terrible.
And the jail is like Green Mile. Like, we're back in the South. Like, what jail is
it? It is, yeah. Is a one room cell with apparently like 20 convicts in there.
Yep.
That are all death row inmates for some reason. It's just very bizarre.
But it is a great excuse to tap into the Ghost Rider powers and his judgment skills.
Yes.
And this is, again, one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
It is. Mine too.
It's super sweet to just see him go full ham, full Ghost Rider. He steals the jacket. He gives the jacket some like sweet spikes on it.
Yes. Yeah.
And is basically just like,
you guilty.
Offering out his brand of justice.
You guilty.
Yeah. And then like the one good kid in there, he's like, innocent.
Yeah.
It's very black and white.
Yeah.
It is. And literally. And you know what's funny? There's one thing that I did not remember until I rewatched this that actually was very powerful for me for this scene. The kid that he calls innocent is the only black kid in the jail.
Oh.
Huh.
And he's the only one he considers innocent.
Interesting.
And I was like, wow, in this really weird age, that feels really good.
Yeah, totally.
To see. And it was just one of those moments that I was like, what? Oh, I see what you did there. Okay. I'm going to have to forgive the eight ball and give you this scene. Okay.
Yeah, forgive the eight ball. Right?
Yeah. So Johnny Blaze escapes, obviously, and we get his confrontation with our air elemental, which again, it's like this.
But it was a little bit more. At least he gave him a little bit more.
A little bit of Earth, but than
Gristle.
It's, you know what's funny? I didn't even realize they're all elemental powers. I just thought they all sucked. Like, I just never put it together. This is fascinating.
So what's your power?
You know,
it's not Arrow just sucking.
they were just shitty villains. I don't know. Okay, that
makes
sense.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
What I will say though is that like the graphics for the elementals, they hold up. They look really good.
They do.
And this fight scene is actually like kind of cool, if not just like super short and anticlimactic.
But it gave us an excuse to see the classic Johnny Blaze whipping the chain around, which is like, if you were air, hey, attack him from behind. Okay, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Like, okay. He can't hit you that way if you're behind him.
Another thing I noticed, I don't know if this was this scene, it might be out of order now, but like, there's that, he goes to the alley and he saves that girl who is Rebel Wilson.
Crazy.
Insane.
Crazy.
With an insane American accent.
Yeah. And I remember from the trailers, she does that whole thing is like, oh yeah, his hair was really, or something like that. Was in all the trailers.
And his face was a skull and it was on fire.
The reason why you don't recognize her because that's her natural hair color.
Yeah. Just black.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes, honey. She's been dying that for a minute.
People aren't like bleach blonde in real life.
But yeah, glad to see Rebel Wilson made it. Good for her.
Yes.
Afterwards, Johnny Blaze returns to the caretaker who is telling him of his predecessor, Carter Slade, the Texas Ranger who hid the contract of San Venganza, which kind of brings us back to our MacGuffin, which is really that this is what Blackheart is after. Because he wants to take down his father, Mephisto. Because
he's basically jealous.
Yeah,
like, I'm mad he gave you power, like an elemental power that I wanted.
Daddy doesn't love me.
Right, so now my best friends are water, fire, and water, air, and earth, because water, air, and gristle, because daddy didn't give me fire.
Yeah. And it's like Captain Planet.
Right?
Like,
oh, my God.
The Planeteers were gone.
Oh, my God.
And every scene with Blackheart leading up into the climax are 1 minute, 2 minute scenes. They're really, really short.
Yeah.
Of him just like saying something super diabolical.
Yeah. Right.
And just being like,
I feel like every one of his scenes ends with him just like zooming in on his face. And he gets that demon face. He's like, crash the next scene.
Okay. No, it's so true.
No, whatever.
But we find out that the caretaker is a rider. And he, you know,
that was cool.
Super, super dope scene.
He's got the flaming horse.
He's got that sweet hat. They ride off to find Blackheart. This leads me to one of the biggest plot holes in the movie, which is when they finally go to face Mephisto, Blackheart slash Mephisto at the end, but they go to face Blackheart and Sam Elliott's like, that was my last one.
Yeah.
I used it up on that ride. I can't help you fight Blackheart.
Convenient.
Why? Why didn't you just stay flaming?
Yeah.
Why did you undo it?
What? Right. Like, why didn't you just stay, you know,
rode on the back of his bike.
It's so bizarre.
Or activate it when you got there.
He's got a horse. Just ride the horse. Ride it. Without basically flame on.
You'll go
fast. And then when you get there, you help fight. That's called, we don't have enough money for both these people to be on fire when we fight this demon.
That's what it is.
We broke. Yeah, yeah. That's what that is.
And it would have been, I think, really fun to see a team up between those two
kids. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, the ride was epic. Like, they led you to it. It's like, oh my God, we're going to see this epic team up. And then he's like, that's all I got. I'm going to die now. Like, what? So let me get this straight.
I'm going to die now.
You're going to die. Instead of fighting this, you're going to die just being what? His GPS? Like, what was that? Like, you showed him how to get there, and now you're dead?
With our powers combined, I am GPS.
Exactly. Like,
that's it.
What are you doing? I thought that was a really bad way for
Sam
to go out.
Why'd you do it,
I was very upset about that, too.
Anyway, Blackheart is actually holding Roxy hostage because he knows that that's the one way to get to Johnny Blaze.
Trope city.
He's like, I will fridge her if you don't give me the scroll of, what is it, Verganza?
Karaganza.
What you said. Mm-hmm.
It's basically the scroll of...
The thousand souls that I want.
The scroll of MacGuffin.
Right,
is what we're going to talk
about. And a gross miscalculation on Blackheart's part.
Yeah, it's...
He gets all the souls, which again gives us a nice. I feel like they called in the Blade effects team, and he gets all the souls.
Looks great because
it looks great.
Johnny Blaze tries to give him this penance stare. It doesn't work
because he doesn't have a soul.
Right. Yeah,
but then in his quest for ultimate power, he uses the scroll and absorbs all of these souls, and then all of a sudden, he is suspect to the penance stare because of all the souls.
Gross miscalculation, like signs, like. Of all the things you checked when you go to attack a planet, you forget that water could kill you? All
right. It's a mess.
Like, it's like the one thing you should have checked on.
Water planet.
For all these people, like these monsters that live for eternity, they're really dumb.
And then Johnny's turning, like he's flame on and flame off because the sun's coming up. So every time he gets to the shadow, it's like flame on. And then when he's in the sunlight, it's like, but wait, when you were in the apartment, you could turn it up. What is happening?
I feel like the sunlight messes with his powers and he's not able to tap into it as much. Again, reading real close
right, squint.
There.
Yep. Squint.
But we do actually get our first scene of Roxy kind of being a little bit of a badass.
Yeah, she's got
a shotgun.
Yeah.
Right.
She's taking Blackheart out a little bit and then she tosses it to Johnny Blaze. He transforms it into basically a rider weapon.
Yeah.
And then is able to do some damage, but... The real damage is when he does his penance stare once he's absorbed the souls.
So Blackheart killed, what's his face by this point, right? His buddy? What we were just talking about. What's his name?
Donald Logue.
Yeah. He's been dead a while,
back
right?
In the day.
Okay. Quinn got sucked dry back in the apartment.
Which I thought was
because
a very
again,
uneventful
no
death.
Locks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes out of nowhere.
We didn't see it. He just like comes home and he's like, oh, look, he's a... husk.
And whenever you see Johnny like mourn for
he's literally walking around the apartment like looking like oh my god, wow he's dead
no for sure. And you'll notice that we skipped very quickly over his puddle battle because of how sort of anticlimactic
that's
that
okay
was.
Again
it's fine
we kind of talked about it because I was saying like
it's 2 hours long which is crazy. 2 hours.
But it's also 2 hours of Nick Cage, which is worthwhile.
And there are a lot of moments in this that are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is super fun.
Yeah, it has a lot of fun moments.
I wish they had leaned a little bit more into the Western sensibility of it because those, I think, were the strongest moments. More Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
More Nick Cage just being like freaking bizarre and weird.
Yeah.
I liked his backstory a lot. I liked the Carney element. I liked, you know, him as this like famous stuntman. I liked.
Yeah.
There are a lot of just like weird moments. The villain was not great.
Yeah.
The elementals, the avatars were.
Yeah. Because Ghost Rider as a character is very cool. And I'm surprised that like there has been more done with
super
him.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dope as hell. So he dispatches Blackheart, which is basically his deal is done with Mephistopheles. And Mephistopheles comes and is like, you have fulfilled your contract and I will now take the powers back. We can give your curse to someone else. And Johnny Blaze is like, nah, bro.
I'm going to keep it.
But also, for once, he's showing some foresight. Like, the last time I made a deal with you, you killed my father. It probably means if I give this back to you, you'll kill me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
For once, he's thinking. Again, I'm squinting.
And my head is cocked very far.
Yeah.
So, you know, he says he's going to fight fire with fire. We actually do get this pretty cool speech from him.
Yeah.
End of movie. Pretty much, you know.
That's it.
And they don't ride off into the sunset. Oh, he rides off, but without her. Thank God.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And again, crazy thing is that, you know, this is, again, one of those movies where you're so trained at this point to wait for an end credit scene that
you watch
the whole credits and you're like, wait a second, I've been cheated.
Yeah. Well, we were talking, we wanted Sam Elliott to go all like Lebowski on the end and be like, it's really good. No one is out there. That's new. We're just going to pull a lot of Sam Elliott quotes from different movies and put it in this podcast.
I like your style, dude.
More Sam Elliott, more Nick Cage, more Western sensibilities. Yep. Any scene where he is the rider is freaking awesome.
Awesome. In this
movie. It's really just some of the relationship components are troublesome.
Yeah, yes.
And I'd say that just they don't age as well as we would have hoped.
They didn't write her well at all.
And again, for a 2-hour movie, it's like, why weren't those connections made? You had the time. You just chose to spend it with the puddles.
Yeah. Straight up. So let's talk a little bit about your favorite scenes in this movie.
Mm.
My favorite scene was when he gets out of jail. It's really the most badass scene when he goes up to the side of the bridge, which he literally does not have to do, but he's up on, literally rides up the side of a bridge, just on top of a bridge. And both Ghost Rider movies and Spider-Man movies like bridges. And he's looking, he's looking down.
All in on bridges.
Exactly. And so all the cops are down below and they're looking at him like, oh, there's nowhere for him to go now. I'm like, I'm looking at them like, do you not notice that it's a skull on fire? Like,
who just drove up the side of a building?
Right. Like that cop that tried to stop him outside the building. Like, I'm going to shoot you and then I'm going to hit you with a gun. I'm like, it's a skull on fire. Like, I would be like Lawrence Fishburne in, what is that movie? Like, I'd be like, we're leaving.
Like, Marvis, what was that movie?
That's classic Lawrence Fishburne from Event Horizon. A bit of a non sequitur, but I'll allow it.
Great.
So, he's like, that made no sense. But no, I would just literally, like, when he comes down off the bridge into the water, then like a submarine, and then comes out of the water all wet, but he's still on fire and gives the cops the finger and then keeps riding on water.
Yeah, and then later on, he goes in the puddle with the scroll of Karagons or whatever, and then it's perfectly dry.
Right.
But water physics.
Right, exactly, because the same reason why every time he's on fire, his clothes don't burn. It's a thing. But that was an epic-looking scene. I like that. It still is a second to when he transforms.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, I don't know what my favorite scene is. I guess, the prison, sure.
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 Yeah. For me, this is a no-brainer. It's when Johnny Blaze is first kind of figuring out his powers and he goes up to the mirror shirtless and he is fucking shockingly jacked.
I have that as a note.
He's all oiled up.
Yeah, like Spider-Man.
And you're like, wait a second.
Trope.
When did Nick Cage get so absolutely rippled?
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like chomping down, looking at his face in the mirror, going like,
he looks insane.
I hate it.
And he's like scaring himself in the mirror. It's just like, it's such a good... It's just a good Cage moment.
Yeah.
I wanted more Cage.
What I think he was trying to do, was transform, but it just wasn't working.
It wasn't happening yet.
Yeah.
Because they could only afford to turn the head into a skull, not his whole body. I don't know.
It's a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Yeah.
So not to go too much into what we'd want to see from the MCU, because I'm sure we'll get into more of this tomorrow when we talk about the Ghost Rider sequel. But were there any takeaways that you guys thought, or like plot points, characters that they could bring in to the MCU? What can they build off of this movie to bring into future Phase 4, Phase 5 movies and TV shows?
There's not much to mine from this, but what I would like to see, if they ever made Ghost Rider in the MCU, make Johnny, bring back Nick Cage as Johnny Blaze.
Oh, hell yes.
But like in the caretaker role. So he's kind of passing the torch to Robbie Reyes. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Robbie Reyes. Yeah.
Yeah, Reyes. Yeah, that's the like kind of the new incarnation of Ghost Rider. But like, let's get Nick Cage back in there because everybody loves Cage.
Yes.
And let him be the guy
that
passes the torch.
I love it.
Yeah.
There's so many different versions of Ghost Rider that were in the comics. Like after Johnny was Danny Ketch. Danny Ketch showed up in the What If comic series. Mm. And we're getting a What If movie.
Yeah.
So I know it's definitely Robbie Reyes that's going to TV. But like there literally could be multiple. There's been and at one point, I don't know when this happened, but in an alternate universe, Spider-Gwen became the Ghost Rider.
Whoa.
That is super it was hot. Ridiculous. He's a super hot. And then we saw on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like four people, including Coulson, became Ghost Rider momentarily. It was ridiculous. He was like passing it.
I think there are a ton of different versions of the Rider. I think there's a Peter Parker. There's a Frank Castle.
There is. Like, there's a Frank Castle.
There are a lot of
versions. There's an Android version. That's $20.99.
Oh, okay.
Ghost Rider $20.99. It's like he's like a T2.
There's a 1 million BC version.
There are
so many different versions. And that I think I totally agree with you. That was my biggest takeaway is that one of the things I loved so much in this movie was seeing multiple riders team up.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see more of that in the future, just knowing that there are so many different incarnations of Ghost Rider.
Into the Riderverse.
In the Riderverse, Let's do a whole new verse. Yeah.
That, I think, is pretty much going to do it. You guys have any final takeaways, final thoughts around the OG 2007 Ghost Rider?
No, just 2007. This whole time period is just such a weird time.
But it's so weird because it was right before the first Iron Man, which everybody considers like such an epic movie.
Well, and it's like it's just stuck in the middle of like X2, Spider-Man 2, and Iron Man. Like there's just this weird few years that we got these Fox-verse Marvel movies.
And also the Mark Steven Johnson like connection that like he wrote and directed this, but he wrote Daredevil and Elektra. So it was this campy version of all of the things. Like make it not make sense. Physics is don't watch this one for science, kids.
Yeah.
Because this is not how fire or water or probably air and oxygen are supposed
Nothing
to work.
Works. Yeah.
That is so true. Also, just like Nick Cage is our own personal national treasure.
Yeah.
Just more.
Yes.
Please. For the love of God, more.
Yeah, so, hands down, one takeaway. Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Bring him back to the MCU some way.
Well, funny you should say that because we're going to be going all in on more Nick Cage tomorrow when we talk about the Ghost Rider sequel, Spirit of Vengeance from 2011.
Oh, God, I can't
wait. This is, you know, we're in the MCU at this point. This is concurrent, so it's very, very interesting. So,
is Eva Mendes in that one? She's got to be, right?
Oh my God.
Do we know?
Let's IMDb it or just go straight to Warvis.
Warvis.
Is Eva Mendes in Spirit of Vengeance?
Eva Mendes is not, but you can look forward to more Nick Cage. I know I will.
Yep.
What?
Yes. OMG.
Yeah.
What?
Idris Elba is, and I don't think those jelly beans made the cut either. So that's okay. It's an upgrade.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe, and join us tomorrow when we're going back all in on Nick Cage. Thanks a lot for listening.
Innocent.